But first, let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Ananta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Ananta Forbes. AnantaForbes.com is her website. Hi, Ananta.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Interesting things going on in the travel industry. I'm going to call it anti-tourism, but there's another term for it called tourism phobia. How would you define it?
It's amazing. Like, with everybody wanting to travel and then to find out that there might be a pushback to the destination that you're going and maybe they really don't want us to be there. Yeah, surprising. It's an interesting topic because right now we're the end of stampede in Calgary and we're overrun by tourists.
Well, that is true. I was thinking about that as I was sitting in traffic the other day. That's just the thing. And we don't have to put up with it all year long. It's just one of those things. And it's probably a reason why a lot of people during Stampede in Calgary leave Calgary for that very reason. So I guess there is some sort of pushback, but we don't spray water at tourists like the story in Barcelona that I saw where protesters were spraying tourists with water pistols. And there is this sort of contradiction. On the one hand, you have destinations saying, yes, please come visit us. We need the money. And then on the other hand, the locals are saying, hold on a second here, right?
Uh-huh. And it's not that far away from home because even in Alaska during cruise season, Juneau, for an example, they're having they had over the weekend a vote about maybe not having cruise ships in on Saturdays. So it is definitely the official definition of tourism phobia is a fear, aversion, or social rejection that local citizens in a destination feel towards tourism. And they're just, the locals are getting fed up with housing shortages, traffic, noise, pollution, litter. And a number of iconic destinations in Europe have become unlivable for local residents and overcrowded. They feel unsafe, uncomfortable, and they're swapping their come to tourism campaigns for tourist go home strategies because it does put pressure on their health system, their waste management, housing. So it is a real situation that we have to recognize. And you're seeing lots of places that are overrun by tourism and that are demanding controls. And that includes the Canary Islands, Venice, Barcelona, Santorini, Dubrovnik, just to name a few. And in those areas, they do have widespread graffiti messages or signs and posters by locals, saying that something is closed or it's not safe to go swimming, but it really is. I think sometimes they even haven't small print at the bottom in the local language to the tourists. Yeah, it's really is safe, but we just don't want the tourists here. So lots of anti-tourism sentiment that's growing stronger and stronger. And it's not just like the signs, like say for an example, they're affecting like Airbnbs. As far as banning, like Florence has banned short-term rentals in the historic center for Airbnbs. And they've introduced, like Venice has introduced a €5 fee to enter on peak weekends and other days between April and mid-July. So you do have to, as a cruiser, because Italy is a popular destination. Venice is definitely a place that they want to go see. You kind of have to be aware of that there is going to be a fee that you are going to have to pay. And talking further about Venice, they have been barring large cruise ships from anchoring in its historic center. So you have to go to Ravenna and then take a 2-hour bus journey in. And if you're only there for a day, that takes up a lot of your day for that excursion, right?
Well, it's interesting to take on Airbnb. I've never been an Airbnb person. And yeah, there's, and now there's even like New York State, for example, as putting restrictions on Airbnbs because it lessens the supply of long like housing, like apartments, mm-hmm. and so it increases the price of rents and homes, right? And we all know mm-hmm. about it seems like everywhere the prices of homes and rents is skyrocketing. So that's one example of you know, like even some people saying, you know, don't rent an Airbnb, and there is almost this myth about living like a local. Well, if you're living like a local, you're putting a strain on other things, like you here saying, even transportation and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, even events such as like the 2024 Olympics in Paris, if you're even in and around that area, you're going to see a huge tourist tax on the hotel rooms. Like they've increased like almost 200%. So they're definitely pushing back in the cost of your travel budget. So you have to be aware of that, especially when you are booking, because nowhere now is cheap. Like I know if we have clients that come in and say, oh, we want just a cheap destination, a cheap getaway. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I think a stay vacation might be that instead of going away, and which is not a bad idea in a long run too sometimes. But it is something that you have to be aware of with regards to either you're going to be discouraged in a very forthright manner not to come to these destinations, or you're going to have to pay for it with regards to fees on your hotels, or even with regards to fines. Like, mm-hmm. for example, in Portugal, you can have an antisocial behavior fee of like playing loud music or campsites or camping outside of campsites, like from 200 euros up to 36,000 euros. Who can afford that?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So you do have to, you know, be, you know, show good sense and have manners, because you are visiting somebody's home in a sense, like as far as drunk behaviors or sleeping in public areas and such. So it can be punishable by high fines and depending on how bad your behavior is, jail sentences.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've discussed this in the past when you were doing your long stay in Mexico, just in general, the price of things have gone up. And that's part of the reason is expats, people moving in, they do have a little bit more money to spend. And so they're willing to pay the higher prices. And so it affects the locals that have been there for years. That used to be, and I don't like to use the word cheap, inexpensive place to go to visit.
Yes, and you definitely find that, you know, there's a destination, you think, oh, it'll be cheap and cheerful, but it's not. And it does affect, it just affects the cost of living in a sense where nobody wins. Like, you know, everybody has to pay that higher cost.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever lived in a resort town?
I have not.
I lived in Kenora, Ontario, which is a resort area for most people come from Manitoba for the summer. Yeah. So in the winter, it's maybe, I don't know, it's 1,000 people live there, for example. And then it will balloon to 10,000 people in the summertime. And so my point about this is about tourists being jerks. And I've seen my fair share of people that simply just don't behave themselves. And they forget that you are a guest in their destination, and you should behave accordingly. And I don't think that most destinations are saying tourists stay away for good. Just when you are here, behave yourself, and you know, maybe a limited amount might be better.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we've been talking about how bad behavior affects costs, but I do want to share a good behavior story, because in Copenhagen, they are incentivizing people who demonstrate climate friendly travel behavior by participating in like the city's green initiatives, like including cycling, train travel, cleanup efforts, and they'll be granted access to museum tours free meals, kayak rentals. So they're using a different approach to close that gap and change how travelers travel in a destination while also trying to combat over-tourism.
And we can't forget, it depends on in the tourism economy where you land. If you're a shopkeeper or a hotel person or a restaurant person, you want to welcome the tourists. And if you're not involved with those industries, you're probably on the other side of the coin, shooting them with water pistols.
Well, that's it. And because you consider, like, a lot of tourist destinations are limited seasonal time frame, so they're looking to make money to carry them over the winter season, right, where there's nothing.
Well, absolutely. And Alaska is a good example of that. And, I always think, for every person that says, no, don't come here, there's always another area that will welcome you with open arms. So,
And that's true. So, and so, you were talking about Alaska, but it affects other regions, not only that cruise destination or that cruise port, too. So there is a spillover effect to that revenue source.
So in the end, what's for tourists, I think the thing is, you do your homework as always, and don't be a jerk traveling, right?
Yeah, be respectful of the communities that you are visiting, because it's a privilege to travel. To me, it is, and I really appreciate the opportunity to go to these destinations, because you see different places in the world that are very challenged with war or other, economic situations, that they don't have the opportunity to travel. So I'm very grateful to be able to go to different places. So we want to be respectful of where we go and contribute to the economy in a positive manner.
You and I both. Onanta Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Always great to chat, Onanta. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good week.